face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's up, Zoe? How we doing, Beetle?
Good. Good. I'm going to warn the TV audience right off the bat that if the camera looks like crap, I'm well aware of it.
Yep.
It does. We'll get it fixed at some point during the show. Had a little battery problems, though. A little battery dying out. Same thing you dealt with the other day.
Interesting. You're pretty technical, too. I thought you'd have, like, 10 backup batteries.
No, you know what happened was the charger slipped out of the wall. I knocked it out of the wall by accident probably yesterday back there, fidgeting with things. And so it wasn't charging, and I thought it was. So.
Huh.
It'll get charged up.
So are you on a different computing machine than you should?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah.
You got no plug in that room?
Right.
Can't you plug it in and just use it while you're charging?
Yeah, it's the battery was completely dead. And it's when you use that video, it drains battery like crazy, so you got to let it charge up a little bit.
Okay. I had that problem day two. We were using the iPad for watching movies in bed. And Beetle said turn the screen brightness down. So I've done that, and the iPad's been 100% ever since. So
nice. All right, so we'll fix that at some point. My apologies for that, fellas. Let's talk a little Patriots to start the day. What do you say?
Sounds good.
They made a move yesterday.
They sure did.
They released the third string quarterback on the team, Cody Kessler. Out. See you later, kid.
Yeah,
nice knowing you.
My initial reaction, MEH, right? Because I never expected Cody Kessler to be in there, any sort of the plans, whether
I laughed at you
or starter
a couple of weeks ago when you even mentioned his name. I said, "What are you even wasting time on his name for? He's not going to be here."
They need an arm. This tells you they're drafting a guy. That's what that tells you. I don't think this has anything to do with. Oh, you know what? We've got to really narrow down between Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. No. We're going to draft somebody that falls to us, and we're going to get even better value. That's what's going to happen. This could be like a Hurts-type pick. I'm telling you, this could be like a Jalen Hurts-type pick. A guy that actually threw the ball well at the combine. Not some of these other stiffs like Justin Haber. We'll be sitting there. Yeah, you want another Oregon stiff? Go ahead and pick him. He'll be Paxton Lynch.
Oregon stiff. Here. I like that.
I'm serious.
Oregon stiff.
Guys play their mouthpiece in, and he'll talk to the coaches, look, turn, like a freaking robot. No, thank you. Hurts
okay, so Kessler's out, and I think they're carrying three quarterbacks. I don't think there's ever a doubt about that going forward. And if they're carrying three, who's the third guy? You think it's a draft pick. You think they're going to go into the draft, they're going to get a guy.
Yes, I do. And I think
that's
exactly
right move?
Why. Yes, it is. And I think that's exactly why Brian Hoyer's here, because you don't keep Kessler here to work with Stidham. Look at all the work that Hoyer did with Brady. And we're going to talk about how Hoyer will help Stidham. But the amount of time that Hoyer spent with Brady, in essence, it's still like having Brady here to a certain extent. Because whatever Josh is going to call, whatever formationally speaking they're going to do, and whatever the concepts within those routes are, if Stidham struggles with some, Hoyer's right there to be on top of it to sort of ease him with the criticism and say, hey, no, we do this one here. Always look one, two here, and if he squeaks out backside, that's three. And you got to remember, if you got two coming strong, we got to get rid of it hot on the left side. Like, that's the stuff. It's secondary coaching is the reason that Brian Hoyer's here. Not to compete for the starter's job. Can he keep it going for a little bit? Maybe. But he's here to see all the little things that he was able to see and help Brady with, and also the coaches with. Hoyer could see stuff that Stidham may not have a clue that he's seeing. You see what I'm saying? When you come to the sideline and Josh goes to him, well, what he's saying? He goes, I don't know. Here's what he's saying. This guy's doing this. Or the backside safety really has his hips turning and he's creeping. They're telling us it's cover four. So let's run some verticals. It's that type of stuff. So Hoyer's the stuck guy in the middle. Whoever the starter's going to be should be Stidham. And I think they're going to bring in a rookie. And that'll be the third guy.
Patriots saved $260,000 on the cap by making this move. It wasn't any sort of cap move. But just wanted to eliminate that as a possibility. It feels like because of their money situation that you can sort of read those tea leaves and know that they're going to draft a guy. They're not going to go out into free agency and sign Cam Newton, per se. That's not what they're looking to do. But my question now becomes, how high do you draft a quarterback? Is it something you really focus on? And that is going to be the telling move, though, about their belief in Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah.
Because if you go get a guy in the draft, let's say second round, what does that say about Jarrett Stidham's future? Do you really believe in Jarrett Stidham?
He'll be viewed the way Garoppolo was. The next guy.
Who will? Stidham or the guy Garoppolo. They draft? The guy they draft?
The second rounder.
Oh, okay, yeah. The guy they draft, you'll say, and again, that doesn't mean you can't have multiple quarterbacks that you have on the roster
right.
And have them compete against each other and have an embarrassment of riches yeah. If you have both Jarrett Stidham and another young quarterback work out.
That guy would be deemed the Stidham screwed it up guy. Because Stidham matures right now. But we got that guy ready to go. We know the age of you and we know your lack of experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they like Stidham, which I think they do.
They do.
That's great, but they don't know about Stidham.
No.
How could they?
But they
How
do could... know about Brian Hoyer. And I'm not saying from a playing standpoint.
What is there to know about Brian Hoyer other than he can...
Everything else. That will help our young quarterback along because it's going to get grueling. You know, we prepare as coaches. Coaches are in there. You can't hold the kid's hand the entire day. It's going to be Brian Hoyer's job to take him under his wing, not to baby him, but to just make sure everything is copacetic. You know, I am your caretaker. That's the way it is.
Do you prefer they go high or low on the draft of a quarterback? You've already thrown a name at us.
Two or three.
Jalen Hurts.
I want them to go two or three, round two or three.
I want them
to get round two.
I want them to get whoever it is they think can actually play. That's what I want. And so I don't know who that is for them. But I think targeting a guy is more important than sitting around and seeing what's there and, oh, we like that guy, so we'll take him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I actually do want them to go target if they like someone, and if they don't think Stidham can be the guy, they should go get someone now. I mean, we've talked about this for years. Jim and I have debated this for years about when you go after the guy and now Brady's out the door and he's gone, but it was, do you do it now? Do you address it now before Brady's done? Well, Brady isn't done. Brady left. And that's their own, you know, sort of situation that they could have prevented. So my thought is, this is it. This is the time. If there's someone in this draft you really like and you could try and move up, I don't think you're moving up into the top five. I don't think you're going to the number one. You're getting Joe Burrow or anything like that.
Nope.
But if there's a guy in the mix here that you like, you should go get him. The time is now.
It's like when they got excited about Baker Mayfield, and then they started hearing the whispers, and then his agent let the cat out of the bag. The Patriots are trying to make a push and make a move to get it all the way up there. If you fall in love with the guy, you go get it. Or you find a guy you think you could look at and plug. If he has to come in a pinch, can he go play football? It seems like Hurts is one of those guys that you could just put in the game and go play football. It might not look like it's traditional drop back, but this kid could probably get in there and function. He played at a high level, gets really, really good competition.
Yeah, or they love Stidham, and yeah. They're in love with Stidham.
No,
and that's the guy they targeted.
The guy, I'm just saying, in case Stidham gets hurt, gets knocked out for a game or series.
So you know who Hurts is Alex Smith. Afraid to take chances down the field. Everything is short, and if he gets scared, he just starts to run.
Why? Because that's your Tua? Because you ready to have Tua? You want your Tua, Jimmy?
No, it's Jimmy. Because that's why Alabama went to Tua, because Tua was more willing to take risk down the field. Jalen Hurts would either throw it to a wide-open guy over the middle of the field or short pass that. Or run. and that's it. Can you win that way?
Be a nice little changeup.
So do you want to see him running around, or do you want to win games?
I don't know. I watched him play this year when he was in Nebraska. Had to transfer there. Played pretty well. Got his ass kicked in the big game. But I watched the entire combine. He and Fromm threw the best out of all these kids coming out. So that's what I go off of. Looks like he has decent fundamentals, could spin the ball. Could he be coached? That's the thing.
You put too much of a value on being able to spin the ball, man. You do. You
got to cut the air, man. Winning games.
Yeah.
Hey,
I mean,
you can't doctor the footballs the way you do in college.
After 20 years of watching Tom Brady, that spinning the ball is a little overrated.
Yeah.
It's a little overrated.
Well, I think you had to take a little air out. They're tight. They're shiny.
I'm just saying. Brady was never about spinning the ball. I mean, by the end, pretty damn good. But that was never really his top strength. That was never the thing he could do best.
Sure wasn't Manning's.
So
no.
Can you coach that out of a guy, though? Can you coach a guy that's afraid to take chances out of a guy? Like Alex Smith, why hasn't Alex Smith been able to be coached out of that? Captain checkdown.
Because that's what he's been told to do.
Well, why was Patrick Mahomes told to do something different as soon as they switched it up?
Because they saw the talent.
Well, I'll tell you why. Jim's describing this difference. Patrick Mahomes trusts his talent, and Alex Smith does not.
It's not.
Right?
I'm just afraid you can't coach that out of Jalen Hurts.
Patrick Mahomes could bend over.
Yeah, I'm with Jim.
Go down on his knee and throw the ball backwards.
I don't watch a lot of college football, so.
I think I've called.
If that's the case, then that's a problem, but that's a side issue.
I think I've called 4 games against Alex Smith. Not once did I ever go, wow. I called 2. Was it total 2 against Patrick Mahomes? I go, oh my God. He's pretty good. He wowed me. I went, wow.
All right, 617-779-0985. Kessler getting bumped. It means they're going to have a third quarterback that is not Cody Kessler, and I think we're assuming it's going to be through the draft. Question now becomes, like, how high do they go in the draft for a third quarterback on the roster? Is it taking a flyer on a guy in the late rounds? Is it going earlier? I think if you're going to do it, you might as well go big. You might as well target a guy that's within reason, and get who you like if you're the Patriots. Also, the idea of an Edelman trade has been discussed. We've talked about it. We were talking about it last week, but someone floated that there's a specific team and that it may be in the works. You'll hear that for yourself, and we'll discuss the possibility of it and why it makes no sense. We'll do that coming up next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit.
Yes.
Is that official?
So
two things have happened here. They've had a couple bad drafts dating back to the Deflategate losing that first round pick that year. But if you just look at the totality of the drafts from like 15 through last year, not the same. And, you know, they kind of ebb and flow with these little runs that the Pats have depending on how the drafts were. The second run that they had where they won the 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, it was a lot of that had to do with the drafts that they had, the moves they made the years before. Same thing with the first 3 in 01 and 03 and 04. So I think there's been some roster atrophy that you could really feel last year.
Bill Simmons floating the idea that Julian Edelman could be traded to the Detroit Lions? Huh.
Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit. Yes. Is that official?
Oh, do we got to get the part where Coward is in there, where he says, people are talking about it.
Even Edelman, it seems like he might be heading to Detroit.
Yes.
Is that official?
It's that, you know, when it's you talked about.
Team, it's talked about.
Somebody what? Said something it about is? It once. And wait, these days,
where?
That's good enough.
Where? Where is that being talked about?
In places,
Colin.
Beetle.
It's being talked about. What? I love
at least they,
guys,
at least they can
love
drive around.
Good enough for me.
At least they can drive around like cops and dress up like each other. Do their little cop game again.
What?
Him and Amendola.
How about Simmons? Is that done yet? Is that announced yet? Is that official? What? Where is this coming from? And T-Bone said right away, it's got to be an April Fool's joke. Maybe it is.
Yeah, they're not getting rid of Edelman. They need Edelman. Stidman needs Edelman.
Stidham is his name. Stidham.
Isn't that what I said?
You said Stidman.
Stidman.
I'm starting to morph into Oprah's
Felger.
Friend.
Starting yes. to morph into Felger is what you're starting to morph into.
Hey, we're getting chapped on the Patriots 4th and 2 podcast. They said, you guys are a day behind. We already did this topic yesterday.
The what?
The Patriots 4th and 2 podcast are chirping us on Twitter saying, come on, guys, we did this yesterday.
Great.
Like nobody can juggle topics.
Means you're on the right path.
Should wait until Friday.
Okay. Anyway, what were we saying? So Simmons says this yesterday, floating this Edelman idea, like it's a possibility. We were talking about this last week because people brought it up as a possibility. You know, would they start thinking about trading Edelman now that Brady's gone, now that they've lost so many pieces on defense, all that stuff? Our answer then was no. Why would you trade Julian Edelman? He's obviously got more value to the Patriots than anyone else. He has a huge dead cap hit if he were to get traded, and that doesn't really help things, so you wouldn't be able to free up a lot of space, and the return probably wouldn't be great. So no. Doesn't make any sense. But let's play along with Bill Simmons. Whether it is a April Fool's joke or not, I don't know what it was yesterday on Coward's podcast, but Simmons saying Edelman could be traded to the Lions. I can think of one scenario in which it makes sense for the Patriots, though. One. And that is Quinn and Patricia got stupid. They overvalued Edelman, and the return offer is really good. Possibly good draft picks.
Tight end. Give me a tight end.
And maybe that too. Whatever it is, it would be because a team got stupid. Because that would have to be what it takes. I can think of no other way that this deal would make sense other than, we'll suffer the dead money and we'll move on from Julian Edelman because look at what we're getting back. And Edelman's 34 years old, and we know that there's not a lot left on the tread for 34-year-old receivers. There just isn't. So the smart move there, and in true Belichick fashion, we're moving on early, not moving on late.
Yeah.
We got a chance to do something here. Yep, it's not great for the cap. It's not great for this year's team, but screw it. They're offering us a great price. That's how I could see it go down.
You know me, I love the kid. I hope he does stay here. I hope he finishes here. But what they got to watch is what's the demeanor, what's the attitude, what's the leadership coming from Jules when he doesn't have his guy there? Is he showing up going through the motions? Is maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't want to be around as much as like Tom didn't want to be around as much in prior years. Because Julian was kind of always a little leader. He was still always there. If they see a decrease in that or like depression, you know, depression's a big thing, big part of it. Like fought back to get past an injury. Gronkowski said it. I only want to play with Tom Brady. I don't want to play with anybody else. You're not trading me. I'll retire. Yeah. And if Edelman sort of is like that, then you could have the option to deal him. Only with that in mind. But if he's full go and he looks good and he's in there yapping and leadership roles back on, I think he should be fine.
So Edelman would be sort of considered part of that old guard or old clique of guys. Amendola, who left and said, you know, I'm going to Miami, and his teammates told him, including Tom Brady, to go be free.
Gronkowski told him, have
Amendola had comments about Belichick with Mike Reese in the back seat of the car about Bill Belichick and playing for Bill Belichick that were not the most flattering comments. Rob Gronkowski gave up football, and, you know, a big part of him was the health, but the other part was he wasn't having fun. And he didn't like the work environment. He didn't like playing for Bill Belichick, apparently. So there's that element for him. Now there's Brady, who is apparently at odds with Belichick for the last few years about his contract status. And he finally walks out the door. And I don't think that there's a lovey-dovey relationship between those two at the moment. I mean, it doesn't mean it's bad, but it's not great, right? I mean, can we sort of take that away from the divorce here? So Gronk, Amendola, Brady, those guys are all gone. And the one guy left is Edelman. And Edelman is very close with Brady and Amendola. So what does that mean for his attitude on a day-to-day basis is what you're bringing up.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure he doesn't go in a tank. This. You don't want this guy to go in a tank. Or you don't want to see limited effort at times. Like Julian's 110 miles an hour all day. Until that changes, he's here. I mean, they love him. He's part of the offense. He makes this offense go. He's the cog, the stick mover.
But so you know that it might not be an effort thing either, because he's like the last guy we would expect to not give full effort.
And I don't even mean that mean of an effort. I'm
attitude.
Saying you have to keep your eyes open for little things, for cracks in the fissure cracks. You know.
So did you play with guys? Did you play with guys? Let's say in the Pete Carroll years, that were good players, worked hard, did their job, and then would be in the locker room and would be completely miserable and would be bitching about the coach to you know. Bobby Greer. Did those guys exist?
Yeah, Bruce Armstrong, team captain.
Played well, right?
Oh, one of the best left offensive tackles you'd play.
But no one ever really questioned how good he was. He was great. So, but he was miserable, right?
It's infectious, yes.
So if you're unhappy, I don't know if we would put the miserable tag on Edelman, you know, as a possibility. He just doesn't seem like that type of guy.
Okay, so like Nomar at the
play
end.
Play it out.
Seemed miserable, right? Yeah, just don't even want the guy in the clubhouse anymore.
I think Nomar had impacted his play.
Yeah, but still, he gave off that persona, you know? Don't come
back. So that could be a reason, too. That could be a motivating factor to pick up the phone and say, I got to get this guy out of here. I got to try and get a return because this is just not going to go well. Because that can work both ways. If he buys in, he's on board with the post-Brady, Gronk, Amendola era. You know, Julian Edelman could be a leader, the leader on this team, along with Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, those types of guys. But if he's still sort of pissed that Brady's not here anymore and everyone else isn't here anymore, maybe that doesn't go great. And that's another reason to do it. But other than that, like needing to do it because you feel it would be good for your culture, which is so strange to even be talking about with Julian Edelman. And the other thing being that, hey, they offered a great deal. I can't think of any other reason why you'd want to do it or why you'd want to move him, considering you're going to have a new quarterback, and he is a guy who can certainly help whoever it is that's playing quarterback.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't consider trading him. I would keep him right where he is here in New England, assuming he's good to go. Nick is in the truck. Nick.
Hey, how you doing, man? I got a little, different opinion on that. I feel like Stidham is going to end up killing Edelman, leaving him up high and dry, getting laid out. He's 34 years old. I think it's a good idea to move on, send Edelman somewhere else, wherever it, you know, you get your best return. And, you know, just, I don't want to say like rebuild, because obviously keeping the older guys here are great.
All right, Nick, let me stop you. Why would you do it just for the hell of it? Just to say, we got to get rid of him. What would be the point of that?
It wouldn't be just for the hell of it. It would be more so for, I just feel like at 34 years old, Edelman's been good with injury. You know what I mean? He went down pretty much once, like, realistically. And I just feel like Stidham's going to leave him up high. He's like, Brady was smart. Brady put the ball down low. Edelman went down and
Why does that mean you don't want him, though? I don't understand your point. Why does that mean you don't want him on the team?
Because, my opinion on it is I feel like the Patriots are going to be probably an 8-18 this year, the way they stand.
Again,
they don't make
that doesn't explain the motivation. Do you think you're getting a good return on Edelman?
I think you could get a good return if you shopped him, yeah.
Okay, well, then there's your answer. You think that there could be a great return. I don't think there's going to be a great return available for him. If there is, that would maybe change things. But are you going to trade Julian Edelman for a fourth-round pick?
No.
No, hell no. Just, you're not going to do it. So, we'll see. I mean, maybe there are more rumors and there's a better return. If there's a good return, you say, hey, the reason I think they should do it is because they could get a good return. There's your reason. I don't agree with it. I don't think there is going to be a good return. But if you think there's a good return, there's your reason. What does it matter that you think he may, you know, be playing with a lesser quarterback or he's old or any of those things? What does that matter? That's not a valid reason. They're an 8-8 team. So? He can't play on an 8-8 team? Let's get to headlines. Hardy has your headlines. There was more in that exchange between Bill Simmons and Colin Cowherd on Cowherd's show yesterday. It was actually from Cowherd's side of things about the planning for the Patriots. And what is this team? What is the game plan? What is this team going to be this year? We've sort of talked about it in passing, but what's the plan for the Patriots in 2020? Let's get to that coming up next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
New England has so much equity. They didn't re-sign their kicker. They didn't re-sign their two playmaking linebackers. They're going to go with Jared Stidham. They would have won more games potentially with Teddy Bridgewater. Is that they got 12 picks. I'm going to throw it at you, Bill. They're going to get three compensatory picks next year because of Brady, Van Noy, and Jamie Collins. They're going to move, in my belief, 4-5 picks this year to next year. They're going to have 14 picks. They're going to be a 7-9 team, 8th in the league draft, 9th. They're going to go to somebody and say, we're going to give you 9 picks to get the top pick. Because there's a high probability the worst team in the league next year is not going to need a quarterback. It's not tanking. They can still maintain their integrity. Miami this year built a culture losing games. You don't have to win the Super Bowl and win your division to build a culture. I think New England is going to stockpile picks and throw 10 at somebody to get Lawrence or Justin Fields. Rip my theory apart.
Rip his theory apart. That's what Colin Cowherd wants us to do. He wanted Bill Simmons to do it, who I think raised some of the points that I would use to rip this thing apart. One being they need more than just a quarterback, so I don't know how you feel. I feel like this team has a lot of needs in the coming years that they're going to have to draft for. And if you have all these picks, it gives you a ton of opportunity to make up for the drafts that have not gone as well in recent years. You have a chance to make up for it.
Yeah. You ever see Clemson play? You ever see their backs and their receivers? Or their tight ends? They're better than ours. They're about 2 seconds faster than ours. I love this that, hey, just go get the kid and plug him here, and then he's just going to carry you. Now, is he good? Trevor Lawrence is very good. He's got a lot of speed around him. Then you got to go out and you got to buy receivers. You got to do what you're going to have to do with Patrick Mahomes. Then Patrick Mahomes is going to end up making his money here next year. They're not going to have all those fast receivers. It's a give and take, man, and it's a balance. I just think that the good linebackers that they have here, we got rid of the kicker. They're going to find a decent kicker. He's not saving a ton of money. And they're going to coach his kid up and hope he wins and sneak in the playoffs and continue to build and use all those draft picks next year to help put more people around him.
Well, I mean, I just think they're going to need defensive linemen. They're going to need linebackers. In a few years, they're going to probably need more guys in the secondary. They need receivers already. They need to get younger on the offensive line. Like, they're an old roster. I don't think you really have the ability to package up all these picks in coming years, or let's say next year, as Simmons says. Like, I don't know that they have the ability to just say, let's just throw our entire draft at Trevor Lawrence. Because First of all, they may not need him if they like Jarrett Stidham, and Stidham's good. And two, I don't know if that's the best way to build their team. I don't know if it's the best way to do it when you have Bill Belichick as your coach. The advantage of having Bill Belichick is supposed to be that you've got such great coaching that you don't need to have the best at any position, despite the fact that they have had the best at quarterback for two decades. So I think this is sort of an interesting debate, though. How do you do it, and how do you sort of prepare for the future? But let's just get to this season. What is this year? As Coward said, it's not a tanking year. I don't think it's a year to build culture either. What do they need to build a culture for? Don't they have that already?
Yeah.
So you don't need to spend any time building a culture. I think the culture is sort of established, and you've got enough veterans in the room that you can still carry it over. I don't know that there's a need to build a culture. It's not a new coach.
I don't know that you can put a pithy label on this year and what they're doing so far. I mean, so far it's the year that Brady left, and now what?
See, I think defense has a culture. Because you got all your leadership in there. You still got High. You still got McCourty. You still got Gilmore. You still got those guys that have been around. They could get in a room and rally those guys. What's your culture on offense? You had a 42-year-old guy running around like a maniacal nut, screaming and yelling, telling you what to do and to get your ass going. I don't know how Stidham reacts. Or somebody's got to take over that. And it could be from another position. Could be like a David Andrews. But does he seem like a real outgoing guy? No, he's kind of laid back, does his own thing. They need a nut. They need a nut in that room. Somebody's going to circle the wagons and motivate and get their asses going. That's part of culture. And then you bring it together as a team. And maybe that's why Hoyer's here, too, because Hoyer's going to know how to when Brady checked out in the off seasons, and when he was suspended, Hoyer was the guy. Hoyer was the guy running all of the scout team stuff away from everybody, running everybody in this place called Mplex down there in Foxborough, where they'd get out there and they just throw every day. And Hoyer ran all those drills. That was turnkey for Brady when he came back. Who's going to be that guy? Is Hoyer going to continue to do that?
So, Hardy, you said no way to put a sort of a, what'd you call it, a pithy title on this?
Yeah, well, give it a clever name. It's like, it's not a rebuild, it's a restructure. It's a all-in, it's a young guy. No, they've got a little bit of everything and not much of anything great. They still have a great coach. I think they have a great system. They've got some great players on defense, but what is this the year of?
I would call this the developmental stage, is what this is.
Yeah, you think they would call it that?
I don't know what they would call it. I'm calling it what I'm going to call it, which is you draft guys, you try and develop young players, and you do that over the next 2 years. I mean, I don't know what other choice they really have. They've got to draft well, and they've got to draft, I think, in volume.
This could be their biggest draft. This could be their biggest draft.
Which means, you know, they're not going to suck. They're not going to be 5-11. They're not going to be that. But they're probably he said 7-9. They might be. They might be that. I hope they're not that, but it's possible. And the compensatory picks next year are helpful. I just don't know if they're going to be able to throw it all at one guy and put a rookie quarterback in there in a couple of years and expect for that to all go well. We do want to get to a comment from Chris Long that we will do in just a bit. Also want to tell you about what the Patriots are taking part in today with their plane. You may have heard about that already. And a message from Bill Belichick next.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
offensively, I think they'll play a lot of complimentary football, whoever's under center.
I need to place a bet. Who's playing quarterback for them week one?
I'd want to see Jameis Winston anywhere right now. I want to see Jameis Winston. I could see if the Love kid drops to, wherever they're picking at 24, 26, he could be a nice option. They may do that thing where they have some up their sleeve and they trade up, but they have a plan. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's Stidham.
That's Chris Long saying he doesn't think it's Stidham. They have a plan. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's Stidham.
Was Chris Long at practice last year? No.
No, were you?
No, a little bit at the beginning of the year. But I've been hearing I've been hearing a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball calling him Brother Stid and Stid and Stid did this. And
you don't think Chris Long is talking to members of the Patriots?
I don't know how much they talk.
All right.
I don't know.
I just thought it was interesting coming from a guy who was on the team and is a former player and is pretty well connected in the league, probably still talks to some friends that have Patriots ties, and he doesn't seem to think Stidham's the guy.
Well, I think he too, meaning Long, looks at Brady as, now he's up there, and all of a sudden their plan is to just give it to this guy.
You told me the other day that Devin McCourty calls everybody brother.
What's his name? Slater.
Oh, Slater
does that. Slater does.
Slater,
that.
Sorry.
My brother Tom. Yeah.
So like brother Stid doesn't love. Mean anything.
Brother Stid. Yes.
You told me it didn't mean anything the
it's
other
good
day.
Good to see my brother Brew. Brother. Yeah.
And now it does mean something?
I didn't say it meant anything. I was more concerned with the defense. Like tell me what Gilmore's saying about him. What Devin McCourty's saying about him on their little podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
they come down, they play games, and give them a little look.
So if
any of those guys, gave you a little story. I take that a long.
If any of those guys thought Stidham couldn't play, you think they're going to tell us? Matthew Slater going to come out?
No, but you could say, hey, he works hard. You would have gotten the. He's a good worker. He's in all the time. Yeah, we like seeing him around. Team likes him.
I think they are. They have a veteran enough. They've been around the block. They know that this is probably going to be the guy this season. They're not gonna put him down in any way.
No, not until he's actually done the job a little bit. And if he does the job and it becomes apparent early on that, okay, this is either going to be a really long road or he just can't do the job. And while everyone says, you got to give him a season or two, we know how people react. I know how I react. And I'm not going to. You can't. It's not in human nature to sit there and give him game after game after game or a couple of seasons. So when that starts to happen, I think you'll hear some of that stuff, not outwardly, but like you said, the dialogue will change from he's the man, he can do it, and he's got all the skills to, he's working, he's trying hard to get better, and, that's what we're all trying to do. It'll calm down. If in fact he's not, it becomes obvious that he's not going to be the guy, at least not right away, and maybe not ever. But at this point, it's like you said, Beetle, they're probably operating under the assumption that he's going to be the guy. So yeah, you're going to say everything you can to prop him up and to make him feel like he's got the full support of the team, even if they don't.
Right, even if they think he stinks.
Yeah,
I know. He and his wife are their lifers here. They're around. See him around town and. He's running with the right crew. He's telling you with the linemen. It's the way it started with Brady back in the day, back in 01. Hang out with those linemen. Make those guys your best friends.
Did you guys see the video Matt Light put out yesterday?
No.
Oh, my God.
I did. I don't know that we can do it any justice now.
Well, what was
it, Jim? Talked about hanging out with the linemen, and it's just like it shows the Brady relationship with those linemen back then. He was just as tight with those linemen as anybody.
As far as the Patriots go, you may have heard this news story already today, but there are at least a million N95 masks that are coming from China right now aboard the Patriots team plane, one of their team planes, one of the 767s that Zoe flies on for games. They flew their plane to Shenzhen, China, and They loaded up with, according to reports, it's, all of the reports say it's more than a million masks that are on board. So that's great news. That's excellent news. That happened today. And the plane, I thought, this was an interesting tidbit in the Wall Street Journal story, that they were given 3 hours to land. You had 3 hours to be there and then get the hell out. So they had 3 hours to land, get everything on the plane, and get back out. The
right.
plane
sounds like an away trip.
Yeah.
And the crew,
that's our away game. Trip,
that's our Buffalo trip, baby. Guys, we will not be staying at a hotel night of the game. We leave day of game. We will land, play, and leave.
Yeah, crew not allowed to leave the plane. They had to, all the crew that was on the plane had to stay on the plane. Otherwise, if they were there for longer and anything else, they were going to have to, I guess, do something that involved like a 14-day quarantine for either
party.
Coming in or, you know, going in or coming back. But they were able to, I guess, avoid all that. And as you said, it's on its way here.
Nice.
Yeah, so it landed Logan this afternoon, and that's excellent news. Charlie Baker tweeting out that through the crafts and several dedicated partners, they made it happen. So the state was able to buy the masks, and the Patriots agreed to go get them. So that's what they did. They went and got the masks over there, and those masks and PPE, as we've been talking about, very important thing, will be brought back, a much-needed thing right now. So that's good. You know, the Red Sox are sending their guys to go have surgery to use up the PPE, and the Patriots are there to come to the rescue and to fly to China and pick up a million masks. I think there's probably a little bit of a difference in the response between the two, but ooh. Yeah, what the hell do I know? Anyway. Another thing, Bill Belichick doing his part during the COVID-19 crisis. He has a public service announcement for everyone that was posted yesterday.
Hello, this is Bill Belichick. I want to reach out to you in these uncertain and unprecedented times to let you know that I and the New England Patriots are behind you. We are all in this together. Thank you to our heroic medical professionals, doctors, nurses, medical workers, and others who are selflessly and courageously doing their job to take care of others in need. We have heard your stories and seen some of your great work. You are truly champions and warriors. We are facing a difficult opponent. It will take teamwork, discipline, and commitment to do the right things all the time. That includes staying at home. I encourage everyone to shelter in place for as long as necessary as we fight this virus together. There are plenty of things we cannot do right now, but let's focus on what we can do. We can adapt, we can adjust, and we can make better decisions right now for the betterment of the future. As I tell our team, let's keep stringing good days together, and we will get through this.
He's very, very robotic.
Makes you want to kill the virus.
That I'm sorry, did you say that makes you want to kill the virus, though?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Let That's what you needed over. To want to kill the virus?
Let's go.
All right, yeah, it makes you want to run through a wall.
Interesting part there at the end, that when that final statement, Jim, if you could pull that up again, make the right decisions for the team, right? What things that we can do for ourselves right now during this very difficult time. Make the right decision for the team.
How come they wouldn't let him just do it naturally? Why wouldn't they just let him talk and say those things without the script? Who decided he had to use a script for that? That's what I want to know. Who made that call? I mean, it's good. It's a good message, but it's a little weird.
Nah, he said some good things in there. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, he did. Yeah. Oh, the message is great. There's nothing wrong with his message.
No, yeah, Peter, if that was released in a statement and you read it on the air, it would have been more powerful than
yes.
what he just did.
Yes, it would have.
The words were more powerful than the delivery.
His delivery yeah. takes away from his words.
I'm trying to think. They're making
it's
it
too bad.
House. Yeah.
Like, just let him talk. The guy, I mean, you know, I'm sure someone was like, oh, make sure you say this. Because it is. It's an excellent message. But he should have just gone off the cuff. He would have been great.
It's like us, man. Keep stringing days together.
I mean, it's good. It is a good message. It is. I don't want to take away from the message, but Jim's right. If he had released that in a statement and we read it, it would sound more powerful than the way he delivered it. Yep. Because he's trying to read it. You can tell he's trying to read it.
Yeah.
That's why. Okay. 617-779-0985. 90 seconds. No commercials. Here are the headlines.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Now. Sports talk. Well, you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Two, Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire studio. Make sure you go to our website, 985thesportshub.com. Download our app if you haven't already done that, and make sure you tell your smart speaker while you're sitting at home, isolated, to play 985 The Sports Hub. Do that. Thank you. Let's get into this hour, talking a little bit about really everything on the Boston sports scene right now. Bad news for the Celtics. You're probably thinking, what? What could possibly be going on with the Celtics? They don't have any games. There's no season right now. There may not be a season at any point. Kemba Walker, his left knee is still an issue. He talked to NBC Sports Boston, and apparently because he hasn't had treatments and hasn't had, you know, much work, you would think, you know, that's a bad thing, but you've had plenty of rest if you're Kemba Walker, right? But right now, there's still an issue with his knee that would prevent him from playing in games. Even right now, it's April, guys. It's April, and Kemba Walker still would have a knee issue if they were playing games right now, which tells you a couple of things. Number one, the Celtics once again underplayed an injury. No shock there. They underplayed an injury. So I'm not even remotely surprised. It's difficult. Here's a quote. It's difficult because I don't have anyone around me to give me treatments or anything like that. I have to do my own stuff, which I'm trying to do as much as possible and stay on top of things. But he's unsure if he'd be able to play right now.
Well, why can't he be treated by the team?
Because the facilities are closed down and everyone's been ordered to stay at home. Have you missed that?
No. The NFL facilities are closed, but they are open to recovering athletes that are allowed to see the trainers and doctors in their respective facility.
I mean, do you think a lot of guys are doing that?
I would think if my hurt guy was that, yes, I would like Kemba in with a doctor once a week to keep an eye on this thing. Absolutely. Go back and look at the NFL guidelines and what they instituted. You're allowed to go there and get treatment. You can't train.
Listen, if Kemba Walker's telling us that he's been unable to get treatments, I'm going to take him at his word that, you know.
That shocks me.
That some things have actually been shut down, and there are people who are actually staying home.
No, I agree with that. But you make like 10 calls and said, somebody's got to find a way to get him this stim machine. Here's the doctor's going to come over. He's going to wipe down, show you how to use it. You use it 3 times a day. This ain't hard.
But even if that were to happen, there's no guarantee he'd be ready to play in games.
I know, but at least he'd be doing something.
Okay, well, maybe, but according to him, games would still be a problem for him, which tells you
this is the bigger problem.
This is not some minor knee thing. Like, this is going to be something that could be a chronic issue for him.
He's got a chronic knee. When you start draining fluid from the knee, you got problems.
So I think that's concerning for not just this year, the season that now doesn't exist, but for the future of Kemba Walker.
See, I keep going back to the coach when we would talk to him initially when Kemba got out. You know, we would talk to him on Wednesdays, and no, it's just that's maintenance. We'll just keep an eye on it. We just don't want something to get worse down the road. We just want to make so much sure that we get it better now. You know, we're doing the right thing now because we don't want any problems down the road. Well, you're down the road. We're down the road now.
So I think about this crisis and how it's impacted sports, and I think locally we can say who are the winners, who are the losers. Who's benefited from it? I think that's the Red Sox. We'll get to more on that in a bit. I think that when it comes to the Bruins, it's an obvious no-brainer. They have been very much hurt by this. They were in the middle of a great season. They were a contender, and now it came to a screeching halt and may never get picked up again. And so they're a big loser in this. The Red Sox, I think, are a big winner. And then you get to the Celtics, and I thought, well, they're definitely in that same group as the Bruins, right? They're having a good year. They're building towards something. Excuse me. You've got sort of Kemba Walker emerging as this leader and this guy on this team that's, you know, going to be that guy that Kyrie Irving couldn't be for this team. And you've got the emergence of Jason Tatum that has happened over the last month that they were playing. And I would put them in that same Bruins category. This has me rethinking that a little bit. So if the season were to be delayed, the NBA season is to be delayed, we've talked about Kevin Durant possibly coming back for the Brooklyn Nets. What if the Celtics were preparing for the playoffs right now and you've got a situation where you've got one of your best players unable to play? He's got a chronic knee issue. Rest hasn't done much for it, apparently. You know, treatment schedule obviously cut back or non-existent because of everyone staying at home. What if they were still playing? What if he wasn't able to play? Then I would say, okay, if the season gets delayed and there's a chance they play it in the summer months, that's probably better for the Celtics that Kemba is going to get the extra time. That's how I'm starting to think about it now because of this injury. Maybe the Celtics do end up being a winner in this. Loser on the Tatum front, but winner on the Kemba Walker front. Does that make sense?
It does, but I would question, like you said, if he's had all this time and he's not necessarily back to where he wanted to be, you know, how much of this is really rest and how much of it is working through it with trainers and stuff? And to answer Zoe's question, the memo from the NBA seems to be a lot more rigid and doesn't open things up the way the NFL one did. And I remember
They're not the NFL, Hardy. The NFL does everything the best.
Well,
great.
The NFL, you know, had a specific provision in there for players who are receiving treatment to continue to receive it. Everything I'm reading through the NBA memo doesn't say anything about that. I mean, it's pretty much players are told to take aggressive measures to avoid contact with others and remain home. You know, this doesn't
NHL,
sound...
NHL, same thing. The NHL players have been told to stay in their homes.
This doesn't sound like come on in and get stretched out. But even if he were able to, this makes me, you know, worry about Kemba's long-term future when it comes to, his health. I mean, this is something that hasn't gotten better after weeks of rest already, and he's not where he wants it to be. And I'm not downplaying the role of physical therapy and what the team trainers would be able to do for him and have someone else working on it with him, but you would think that, you know, the rest, as much as anything, would be helpful to him, and it doesn't sound like he'd be ready. Doesn't sound like he's all that close. So yeah, it could help them in the short term by not having to go into a postseason without Kemba Walker. But long term, I don't know how sturdy Kemba's gonna be with him in that knee if he hasn't gotten any better at this point.
Yeah, so his last game was on March 10th, was the last time he played?
Last time we saw each other.
Yeah, so he's had over 3 weeks. I don't know. I would if put it this way: if we were in Hardy,
that's wait. You got to remember though, he came back and played in those four games at the start of March.
Right.
He had taken off half of February too.
Right. If we were sitting here right now and the Celtics were getting ready to play tonight, and it's like Kemba Walker doubtful again tonight, we're like, this guy hasn't played in 3 weeks. You know, would you feel good about his chances for being ready for the postseason?
Absolutely not.
No.
No, I wouldn't. And so I think you put it right, though. Short term, they could end up being a winner if they're able to get Walker back. Long term, you hope. I mean, you hope it's a type of thing where, you know what, he just needs to get his knee scoped. It's not something that's going to be, you know, something that is a long-term injury itself. It's not something like Dustin Pedroia, right, needing microfracture surgery.
I hope not.
Right? It's not to that degree where you're like, dude, you can't play with that. You can't do that. But it's just a matter of, you know what? He's got a little piece of cartilage loose, and they just got to clean it up, and then it won't swell up, and they won't be having to drain it or things like that, right? You hope it's something minor and not something more serious and more chronic and something that will continue to pop up in seasons to come, because that would be bad news. That would be the same type of concern that we had about Kyrie Irving. We had concerns about Kyrie Irving's knee, and those obviously came to fruition when he was with the Celtics. But you had serious issues. But this bigger question, though, is fun. Who are the winners and losers? It's weird to think that there could be winners. And I don't mean that in a, you know, hey, let's celebrate it. It's just a matter of positive and negative impacts of having the break and the delay, or even possibly cancellation of a season
clear
for all
winner.
The teams in town.
Yeah, one clear winner.
I think it's the Red Sox.
Oh, and a runaway.
I think the Red Sox have benefited from not having to play more than anyone else. So why don't we get to that? Pete Abe actually has an item on that. And I think he raises a lot of good reasons why they're winners. I think there are even maybe more reasons that are not in the story. We'll get to that coming up with your call, 617-779-0985.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.